Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Almirall First Half 2019 Financial Results Conference. This presentation was released earlier this morning and is available on our corporate website. Presenting today, we have Peter Guenter, Chief Executive Officer, David Nieto, Executive Vice President and CFO, and Bhushan Hardas, Executive Vice President, Research and Development, CSO. Peter will make some general introductory remarks about the quarter and later come back to sum up. David will provide you with detail on the financials, and Bhushan will comment on the pipeline update. After that, we will open a Q&A session. Before we move ahead, I would like to remind you that certain statements that we will make in this presentation are forward-looking statements. These forward-looking statements reflect Almirall's judgment and analysis only as of today, and results may differ materially from current expectations based on a number of factors affecting our businesses. With that, I will pass you over to our CEO, Peter Guenter.
Well, thank you very much, Pablo, and good morning to everybody on the call. As you can see on the first slide, I've summarized the highlights. It's fair to say we have a very strong H1 momentum driven by key brands across Europe. In the first half of the year, Skilarence continues to receive positive feedback, and the launch is going according to plan. Last Friday, we had the very good news of the CHMP positive opinion for Ilumetri. Ilumetri is the trade name for tildrakizumab, our first biologic, and we expect formal approval by EU by the beginning of October and then the launch late 2018. The pipeline also continues to progress very well with two phase III positive readings, KX2391 for actinic keratosis and P3074 for androgenic alopecia. Bhushan will give you more color about this during the presentation. Further R&D news flow is expected in half two 2018. Given the positive performance during H1, we have upgraded EBITDA guidance for 2018. We now expect to deliver year-on-year growth of around 30% versus the 20% we initially expected and provided to you back in February. We are reiterating guidance for total revenues and net sales. To go to the next slide, we showed you this slide, as you might remember, last quarter, and I wanted to provide you, sorry, with a brief update as to where we stand at present. Evidently, you won't be surprised to hear that our priorities and areas of focus for 2018 remain unchanged. First, the building of a psoriasis franchise. To this end, we are very encouraged by the positive launch of Skilarence, and I will provide you with more detail on that shortly. We recently received the CHMP positive opinion for Ilumetri or tildrakizumab in Europe and are looking forward to and expecting its approval at the beginning of October, as mentioned before. Second, we remain focused on generating value from our existing portfolio and have been pleased to see in the quarter that our selective investment behind some key brands such as Ciclopoli, Sativex, and Crestor continues to pay off. R&D is progressing well with positive phase III readings for KX2391 for actinic keratosis and for P3074 for androgenic alopecia. Finally, on M&A, this continues to be a key priority for us with a primary focus on medical dermatology. On the next chart, you can see that the Skilarence growth continues quarter-on-quarter, both in Germany and in the U.K. In Germany, Skilarence achieved more than 50% of Fumaderm volumes by June. Growth continues to come from both switched and new patients, in which we are now achieving approximately 70% of the new patients. The rollout in the rest of Europe is going according to plan. Skilarence was recently launched in the Netherlands, which we expect to be a very important market because very intensive previous DMF use, and the next two launches will be in Spain and Italy. Now I will pass over to David to provide you with some comments on the financial performance in H1.
Thank you, Peter, and good morning to everyone. In the first half of the year, we deliver very strong financial performance with total revenue growing 5.1% and 6.1% in constant exchange rate. We have strong first half pickup for Skilarence, good growth in key brands in Europe, particularly Crestor, in which performing ahead of the plan. We benefit also from gross margin improvement, given favorable product mix and performance of key products. We lower our SG&A in absolute value versus last year, despite all investment in new product launches. All in all, we deliver very strong EBITDA growth, around 80%. With this, we achieve significant operating cash flow generation of about 70 million for the first half of the year. Our two main challenges in the first half were the declining sales of Thermigen due to the early termination of Instilif agreement and the poor performance of our capital sales delivery. We also have a performance challenge in emerging market sales, slowed because of the demand decrease in immunoids. This demand decrease will be tackled by conducting a study reinforcing the efficacy data on the product. On the next chart, you will see the net sales evolution. Our existing business or base business continues to show very resilience, with key brands growing double digits such as Satilex or Almax, and also lower than expected impact from generic entries. Also, we are pleased with Crestor revenue contribution ahead of our expectation and our SkiRx launch. On the negative side, Thermi continues to be a challenge, as already discussed in the earlier charts. Next chart, please. Moving to the P&L, you can see that we grew net sales by 6.5% in constant exchange rate. The other income was higher given the increase in the probability following the filing of AstraZeneca combo in the US. We improved our gross margin by more than 200 basis points at 68.8% given the positive product mix. This is definitely a good sign of a healthy performance. On the R&D side, we prioritized and the cancellation of poly program resulted in lower spending in the first half. However, we continue to target spending around 12 to 13% of net sales in R&D. So please don't use this quarter as an indicator of a long-term trend. Again, we deliver strong cost control and productivity programs in SG&A, which is below last year in absolute value. Despite the fact that we have investment in our psoriasis launches in Europe. All in all, a very solid financial performance with EBITDA up 80%, driven by our core business, meaning much less dependent on our AstraZeneca income. On the next chart, I would like to highlight the two elements going down to the net income. The interest expenses reduction is due to the change in financing from senior notes to the revolving credit facility, which is giving us a much lower financial expenses. And also the important net income increase is driven by three things, basically: a strong EBITDA delivery, low financing costs, and lower tax rate than previous year. Let's move to the next chart. Looking at SG&A evolution in Q1 and Q2, in Q2, we accelerated our productivity program and tightened our cost control, allowing us to deliver about 20 million in savings during the quarter. About 8 million of that were reinvested in new product launches. Again, as we move to the second half of the year, we will accelerate the reinvestment of these savings in our new launches to make sure that we drive growth. Going to the balance sheet, we continue to have a very strong and very healthy balance sheet at the end of the first half, with virtually no debt. Two quick comments. We returned in total 150 million of our revolving credit facility. And maybe the second comment here is just a reduction of the current liability, which is mainly linked to the payment of Athenex deal, Tildakizumab, Ilumetri, Crestor, and the poly earnouts. If we look at the cash flow evolution at the end of June, we delivered strong operating cash flow and used part of that to pay the milestone I just mentioned. And as announced earlier, we also started to, early in the year, we also started to execute on our treasury share program through an equity swap. At the end of June, The equity swap holds about 0.5% of Almirall shares, the equivalent of 948,000 shares that we acquired, or the equity swap acquired, at an average price of 11.12 euros a share. Next chart, please. Regarding our 2018 guidance, as Peter said in the introduction, we are upgrading our EBITDA guidance and expect to deliver about 30% growth versus prior year, which is an improvement versus our previously mentioned guidance of 20%. We are reiterating our top-line guidance to mid-single-digit growth, with net sales growing mid to high single digits and other income to decline double digits. I will now hand over to Bhushan to give us some highlights about the R&D pipeline.
Thank you, David. As we all heard from Peter, that the pipeline is progressing really well. The readout from the two clinical trials for KX2-391 topical for acne keratosis have shown positive results, and I will come back to you in a minute. Phase 3 clinical trial, B3074, for androgenic alopecia for Europe has shown positive readings, and we have met the primary efficacy endpoint, which was target area hair count at week 24. On the other hand, phase 2 trial, PAT-001 for ichthyosis, did not meet Almirall's internal criteria. Therefore, we have decided to give back the license to Patagonia. Rest of the pipeline is doing really well. Ilumetri, our biologic for psoriasis, we do have CHMP positive opinion, and we track approval in early 2018. B3058, topical for onychomycosis, European trial will be finishing in fourth quarter, and we come back to you with the results of that. Now, looking at the design of actinic keratosis clinical trial, we were running two parallel phase 3 pivotal clinical trials in the United States. About 60 sites were recruiting the patients. Every trial had 350 subjects. The design of the trial was male or female over the age of 18 were included. They had to have a confirmed diagnosis of actinic keratosis. Both face and scalp was treated with one-person ointment of KX2-391. The area covered was 25 centimeters square, and it had about 4 to 8 actinic keratotic lesions. Once the application was done for 5 days, and at day 57, primary efficacy endpoint was measured, which was complete clearance of actinic keratosis. We had with a p-value of 0.0001, which is a very good news for us. Patient which has completely recovered need to be observed for one more year. That means we will get the results of the total trial in Q3 2019. Coming back to the pipeline, as you know, we have two in registration, Skilarence, which is an oral for psoriasis, and injectable, which will be biologic Ilumetri in phase in registration phase. Actinic keratosis is in phase 3, as well as B3074, B3054, onychomycosis is also in phase 3. We also have program in psoriasis and atopic dermatitis, which is in early stage. Now, looking at the news flow, as you've already known, in Q2 2018, we came up with positive results of androgenic alopecia. In Q3, we have positive results for phase 3 for actinic keratosis. We will come to you with phase 3 clinical results for onychomycosis in Q4, as well as approval of Ilumetri. I will hand it over to Peter for conclusion.
Thanks a lot, Bhushan. So to the last slide. In summary, we're quite satisfied with the strong business performance in H1, which allows us to upgrade EBITDA guidance for the year. Second, the psoriasis franchise is growing in importance. The rollout of Skilarence continues, and EU approval of Ilumetri is anticipated for the beginning of October, with a launch date late this year. Number three, we are maintaining strong cost focus while also investing in the business in order to drive top-line growth. Number four, as Bhushan just mentioned, the R&D pipeline is progressing really well with two phase three positive readouts. And finally, management remains firmly focused on additional external opportunities to generate sustainable value for our shareholders. With that, I'll turn it back to Pablo to open the Q&A session.
Thank you very much, Peter. Sergei, back to you for the Q&A, please.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Please make sure the mute function on your phone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. We will now take our first question from Trung Huynh of Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my questions. I have three, if I can. Firstly, on KX2391, can you please discuss the tolerability of that product in actinic keratosis and how that might compare to Leo's Picato? And should we expect filing after the one-year follow-up, or could you file following this 57-day data? Secondly, can you discuss your pricing strategy for Tildra? Would it have to be lower than a generic Humira, which enters in 4Q in Europe? And finally, in your priorities for M&A, you mentioned a focus on medical dermatology, thermi and aesthetics dermatology. That continues to be quite challenging. Is this a business you remain committed to? If not, would there be a write-down or could you dispose of it? Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you, Trent. So let me tackle a couple of questions first, and I'll hand over to Bhushan to answer your questions on KX2391. So first of all, Tildra and pricing. Tildra, obviously, that is too early to give you color on that. Nevertheless, let me tell you that we are very excited by this launch. The IL-23 class is doing extremely well. We think that this is going to be the winning class in the field of biologics and psoriasis. And I think that our product within that class has a couple of very interesting features, such as the long-term data, both on efficacy and safety, the very, very convenient dose regimen, one injection every 3 months. So we're very committed to that product, which we think will create a lot of value for patients. So pricing strategy too early, obviously, but would it be below biosimilar of Humira? There I can tell you definitely that this will not be priced below biosimilar Humira, on the contrary. Your second question on M&A, medical derma, so yes, of course, we have a very healthy balance sheet. So we look at opportunities that pass by. I said mainly in medical dermatology. We also might do from time to time some more opportunistic deals, like, for example, which we did with Crestor, if it fits well with our existing platform, for example, in this case in Spain. It increases critical mass and it has a lot of virtuous effect on the overall P&L of the company. On Termi, it's clearly a disappointing quarter. As mentioned by David, the capital sales in the U.S. Were not as we anticipated. Now, we do think that there is value in this platform. We have suffered in the last couple of months or quarters, I would say, also by a lack of innovation. We are going to launch in the third quarter a new machine, which has innovative features. But are we satisfied with Termi? Definitely not. Have we been able to unlock the value of this platform? Definitely not. Not. So we'll have to think on the best way forward for this platform in the coming months. So Bhushan, can you answer the question on KX2391?
Yes, thank you, Peter. So 5 days treatment with KX2391 did not have any treatment-related serious side effects. As we have already mentioned in our press release, the side reactions were very comparable to what we see in our phase two clinical data, which definitely is favorable as compared to Picato. Both regulatory agencies want us to have 1 year's recurrence data before we could submit to them. That's why we will be submitting after we complete that 1 year time.
Thank you, Bhushan. Next question.
Francisco Ruiz of Exane, please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I have just two questions. The first one, if you could confirm that the payment for Chidra after the CHMP approval is factoring this quarter or is going to be in the next quarter, and if you could quantify how much it's going to be. The second one is regarding your upgrade on guidance. While you're maintaining the sales growth, I would like to know if this is mainly due to a better SG&A that you expect, and I remember, correct me if I'm not wrong, that you are guiding for a flat SG&A, or is a better gross margin or lower R&D in the second half of the year? Thank you.
So thank you, Francisco. On the guidance beat, I think there's a combination of factors here. As you mentioned, we are actually, you know, outperforming our own expectations in terms of SG&A productivity. Now, it's fair to say, as David highlighted in his presentation, that we are really continuing to invest in the launches. And actually, that number will go up in the next quarters because of, you know, the increasing number of countries that are going to launch Skilarence, and, of course, because of the first launches of Tindrakizumab. So it's a, I think it's a very, virtuous circle, I would say, in terms of reinvestment in the growth platforms of the company. And then the second piece you mentioned already is, of course, a very healthy gross margin improvement because, you know, the more you launch the more modern products, the more innovative products, the more you have a higher margin mix, and therefore you will have noticed that actually our gross margin is up by more than 10% in the quarter. On the payment of Tildra, I'll defer to David.
Yes, so we don't give details about how much the payments are, but I can tell you that from now to the end of the year, if the final approval happens, which is, you know, with a very high probability given the positive CHMP we just received, we will have a payment. That payment will be a payment, but would not be significant of nature. So I think most of the payments that are linked to licensing or deals are already in the first half of the year. When you look at how much disbursement we had, most of them, the biggest majority, 80% of them, are already in there. So unless we do something new as a deal, if you want to project our cash flow, investment cash flow, you have most of it in the first half of the year. If I may, if I that answer your question.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Peter Welford of Jefferies, please go ahead.
Hi, yeah, thanks for taking my questions. Firstly, just on 3074 in alopecia, could you just outline whether or not is there also still a US trial ongoing, and are data from a second trial required for filings in either the US or Europe? I guess I'm just curious what additional data are needed before you could potentially file 3074 in either geography. Secondly, then on the US dermatology franchise, the RX bit, can you just clarify whether or not that business was profitable or not during the first half or second quarter of the year, and what sort of steps have been taken at the moment to manage that business? And then finally, just on 391, I think you said that both regulatory agencies want the 12-month follow-up data. Did I hear that correctly? So you can't file in either geography based on these phase three data. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Peter. So, Bhushan, why don't you take the two questions which are R&D related, so on alopecia, U.S. trial, and then the recurrency data necessary for the regulatory filing both in the U.S. and Europe.
Yeah, as you know, the androgenic alopecia topical clinical trial was primarily for EU. The data, the design of the trial that we have today should be sufficient for us to submit in EU. We will evaluate the data further and talk to the FDA to see if we can submit this data or we will have to generate another data. But for sure, answering your question, we have to do additional trial in the U.S. before we can submit in the U.S. Coming to your second question, both agencies will like us to have that 1 year recurrence data before we could submit to them, if that answers your question.
Thank you, Bhushan. On the your question on US Derma, Peter, so I think it's important to mention that we have been working in the last quarters and we continue to work in the second quarter on the profitability of this platform. We don't provide, breakdowns of our profitability of the different, parts of our portfolio, but I can tell you that the profitability of this business is improving compared to historical benchmarks. We have worked hard on the cost base, and we have worked hard also on driving profitable prescriptions. So, I think it's important to not necessarily look at, what is the overall TRX performance, because in the past, as you will remember, many of those TRX have proven to be non-productive or non-profitable, and now we are really focusing on driving profitability profitable prescriptions.
Thank you. Jaime Escribano of Banco Santander, please go ahead.
Hello, good morning. I would like to ask regarding the alopecia compound. So, if everything goes well, when could you do the launch in Europe? This would be the first question. Second question would be regarding Thermigen. You were mentioning you are launching a new upgraded machine. Is this going to have an impact in Q3? Results, or should we expect this more to have an impact in Q4? Regarding the US Derma sales, I see that there is an improvement. You did 8.7 million in sales in Q1, and now you are doing 10.5 million. So maybe you can elaborate a little bit more, because obviously it's a positive trend for the first time in many quarters. And finally, a small question on cash flow. Above operating cash flow, there is a minus 39 million of other adjustments, both in 2018 and 17. Could you tell us what is this? Thank you very much.
Thank you. So on alopecia, we expect filing in Europe during 2019 and then launch in Europe again in the second half of 2020. On the new machine on Thermi, of course, this should help because innovation in that industry really matters, and rapid cycles of innovation are important. I think it's a little bit early to expect that already in the Q3 this would be a significant uplift, but of course we hope that it would drive sequential growth in Q4 compared to the previous quarters. The two finance questions I will defer to David.
Thank you for your question. Regarding the U.S. Derma sales, it is true that we have an improvement in the second quarter versus the first quarter. So think about the fact that in the first quarter, we sometimes have the rebate reset in the U.S. and the copay reset. So the first quarter is always a low quarter in that sense. So are we pleased with our sales in the U.S.? I think we are delivering about 10.5 million in Q2. This is basically what we said to you, that we will maintain a business that will try to keep profitable at break even. Having said this, I think that's the level of expectation that we have going forward. Regarding the free cash flow, the 39 million that you mentioned about the other adjustments, this is linked to the AstraZeneca, I would say, financial update. As you can imagine, that we don't cash the milestone every year. So basically, we're taking out through the cash flow the effect of that through that line in the cash flow statement. If you need more details on that, don't hesitate to reach out to Pablo. He will be able to explain to you one-to-one.
Okay, thank you very much.
As a reminder, to ask a question at this time, please press star 1. We will now take our next question from Ignacio Mendivil of JB Market Capital Market. Please go ahead.
Hello, guys. Good morning. I have two questions for me. The first one would be, can you help us to understand what has been the recurrent cash EBITDA in the quarter for Almirall? So you have reported 80 million euros other income. Which part is cash and recurrent? Then the second question, when looking at your audited accounts and the segmentation of the U.S. Derma business, you have booked 6.4 million euros provisions in the first semester. What are those provisions related to? And finally, do you have any operational leverage now in the U.S. in your aqua business after the strong restructuring you have done? How many additional products could your current commercial network promote? Thank you very much.
Okay, let me answer first the last one so we close the subject on aqua. So I think aqua, just to give you a broad context, because I think we're spending a lot of time on aqua. Today, aqua is about 5 to 6% of our revenue, and it's actually basically 0% of our profit. So I think I understand you focus about aqua. We maintaining aqua because it's a good platform for future launches, and I think the idea is to bridge it to the moment that we have to launch our, you know, Athenex product that we just saw some positive phase 3 data. But as I said, it's less than 5 to 6% of our revenue, and it's we're trying to maintain the break-even position. So that's how you have to think about it. Regarding the question of EBITDA recurring or not recurring, we don't provide the detail of it. The only thing I can tell you is, as I said into my comments, is, and as we said into our guidance for this year, the EBITDA is coming much more from the core business and much less dependence on the AstraZeneca income. And as you can see, the AstraZeneca income with the IFRS 15 is now flowing through the other income line. And you could see that we increased significantly our EBITDA and our performance despite the fact that the other income line is declining double digits. So this is a good performance in that sense. Then the ability to deliver EBITDA and this being reflected into the operating cash flow, as you can see, we have 69.7 million of operating cash flow, so which is a very strong performance. And I think this is a very healthy financial situation or financial first half that we delivered. So the cash conversion has improved. Regarding the provision, I really did not get your question. Can you just maybe repeat it?
Yes. In your audited accounts, you have reported 6.4 million euros provisions in the dermatologic business in the U.S. And just if you can give us some color on what are those provisions related to.
Nacho, this is Pablo. I will call you later and I will give you details about that.
On top of my head, we may have a provision for inventories or things like this, but you know, this is normal course of business. Yes, and our returns, and basically this is normal course of business. And Pablo can give you more update of it. I'm happy to see that someone reads our audited financial statement. We put a lot of work on it, so thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. If there are no further questions in the queue, I would like to turn the call back to Pablo Divasson for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, thank you, Sergei. We are now going to close our Q&A session, and with this, we will complete our conference today. We want to thank you all for your attendance. You may now disconnect.